Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we're brought to you today, and it's time to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great special between now and Tuesday. Coors Light 24-pack cans, just $13.49. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You must go there before the weekend. Stock up now. Play-by-play call of the day. You don't hear a lot about him, but he's one of the truly great players in the game. Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks, his third home run of the night.
Holy, hits it in the air. Number 23, and it's 3-0 Diamondbacks. Goldie smashes one toward the left field corner, and there it goes. He hit it out of Wrigley Field. Paul Goldschmidt, his second home run today, his 24th of the year, and it's 6-1 Diamondbacks. Goldie drives one deep left center field, and that ball is gone.
Something else, isn't he? He is a legitimately great player and a great defensive player, too. Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. All right. As promised, time now to bring in the commissioner of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney. Jim, welcome. It's always a great pleasure to have you with us on the show.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, let's start with this. And you did address this at Big Ten Media Days, but what has run through your mind over the last 4 years as you've watched Penn State in many areas come back?
Yeah, I mean, I just think they've, you know, done everything that they needed to do to return to a sense of normalcy. Mostly hard work, really. They were presented with competitive challenges, brand challenges, but everybody working together has made, you know, a lot of progress, sort of earned it the old-fashioned way by working through it.
Also working through it, you had to work through it to get to your TV deals, which are going to now be in place, which you talked about. It used to be that in the maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago, you put everything under one umbrella. Logistically, how much more difficult is it to tie down all the ends when there are so many partners now involved?
You know, it's more difficult. You know, if you went back more than 10 years ago, go back 25 years ago, we had 66 home games, and we had 16 games televised, 10 on ABC and 6 on ESPN. ESPN at the time was smaller than the BTN, and I think of the 10 games on ABC, 9 were regional. So there were 50 games that went untelecast. Fast forward to, 1995 to 2005, we started increasing the number of games from 30 to 40 to 50, till when we launched the Big Ten Network in 07, all the games were telecast in one form or another. But just by going from one partner to two and two to three creates more logistical challenges. In basketball, we'll have four, and we'll deal with that. But the good news is you have one, two, three, or four major media companies that are promoting and marketing you, that have a stake in your success. The other side of it is the simplicity goes out the door. These are natural competitors who, you know, are competing against each other, but they all want you to do well because when you do well, they do well. So, you know, there's no doubt about it. It is monumentally different than it was 15 years ago and whatever monumentally 10x more than it was 25 or 30 years ago.
This will be the 10th anniversary of BTN. When it came to fruition, what did you envision? And now, 10 years later, what is the reality?
Well, you know, it was first of its kind in college sports, but we had seen regional sports networks before. The YES Network, you know, had launched a few years earlier. We saw that difficulties with that launch. When we were trying to launch the NFL, it was going through struggles to get distribution. There was a Victory Network in Minnesota that had failed. New England Sports Channel has been around since the 80s, really, and so that was, you know, an example of success. ESPNU hadn't yet been founded, so we were unsure. We thought if somebody could do it, that we could. We knew it would be challenging, and it was. But our hope was that we would provide deeper and broader coverage of Big Ten sports to Big Ten fans throughout the region and throughout the country. It turned out to be the case. You know, we have more subscribers outside of our region than we do inside of our region. Some 60 million homes, really only about 27 million less than ESPN and 25 million less than Fox One. We're available anywhere where high-speed internet exists globally. And we're syndicated in probably 26 or 27 other countries. So I think it's been a boon for fans. I think it's really enhanced the Big Ten brand. And I think it's been fabulous, not only for football and basketball, but for all of our sports, because across all platforms, digital and linear, you know, we're putting out as many as 1,500 events and actually an equal number of men's and women's events across platforms. So I think it's been a recruiting and branding success, an artistic success, and obviously a financial success.
Yeah, no question about all of those points. How close to commissioners in the future also need to look at the Amazons, the Yahoos, and so forth down the road as options?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, we're involved with four major media companies,
right?
BTN, CBS, Fox, and ESPN. And, you know, there's evolution happening right now, whether it's Hulu or whether it's Amazon. We have content. We partner with major companies to get that content out. Sometimes it's through cable. Sometimes it's through over-the-air networks. And sometimes it's through content agreements with a Yahoo or a Facebook or a Hulu. And so that's actually happening now. And so I see it as somewhat evolutionary. I don't think ESPN is going anyplace, nor do I think Fox is going anyplace. They may have smaller platforms. There may be hybrids of one kind or another. But I think, you know, much has been written about it and probably should be written about it. But I don't think there's going to be demise of over-the-air networks or cable networks. But I do think there'll be more distribution modes. And hopefully we'll be able to participate in that and keep a lot of this healthy.
Yeah, no, I agree with that across the board, because you're right. They're not going anywhere, but you have to be aware of everything around you.
Yep.
Friday Night Football. I completely understand what you wanted to do with Friday Night Football, because you're trying to get as many brands of conference programs out there on a Friday night that's available. Were you surprised by the pushback?
A little bit. You know, I would have to say, honestly, that was, you know, we had spoken with our universities. We, you know, it wasn't a one-size-fits-all. We knew that some of the larger stadiums would have a very difficult time, and so most of them passed on home game participation. But they were willing to try it once on the road. Some of the more modest-sized stadiums were willing to do it once home and once away. And so we weren't trying to sell anything that we didn't have good communication and approval from our schools. And so it was transparent, and it was I was of the impression that our schools could digest it. And, you know, we got pushback. There's no doubt about it. To deny it would be to deny reality. But The other side of it is that we have tried to mitigate it. We have had good communication with the high schools. We will be doing some of it, but it'll be modest. I mean, I expect there'll be a couple games on Labor Day, as we've always had on a Friday, and there may be a couple of other ones. But we're going to work with the high schools and our own schools to try to find the right balance. But it ends up, you know, we're going to do 94, 95 games this year, and I think we'll have two on non-Labor Day Friday. So you have to kind of see it for what it is. It is a deviation from tradition, but it's not a deep deviation.
Right, and I know idealistically everyone would love to see no FBS and everybody playing FCS schools. You know, excuse me, playing FCS schools.
Yep.
Idealistically, well, but what does the 9-game conference schedule do to those 3 non-conference games? Where realistically, there has to be some leeway.
Well, you know, we had never played with 9. You know, we had never had a playoff committee, and we had never tried to dictate to our schools what they should be doing. But again, before we went into TV negotiations, before we went into expansion, we talked for a long time with our universities about how many home games should we have. We have more universities. Shouldn't we have more games? We want to play against each other more, not less. Second is, you know, if people's attention span is getting a little bit shorter, how do you make sure that they're interested in the on-the-field games?
Right.
So to that end, okay, let's play schools that have the same number of scholarships that we have. And then with regard to the committee, let's try to impress the committee. They say strength of schedule is going to be important. So we went the route we went. After 3 years, what we realized was that in years where some of our schools had 4 home games, they were having real difficulty getting 3 non-conference FBS games to fill out a 7-game home schedule. And so after some thought and consideration, we provided them flexibility in every other year basis if they needed to get an additional home game to be able to go into the FCS pool. Some people are not going to do it. Some people may do it. I mean, I expect that it would probably be, you know, somewhere around maybe a maximum of 7, but probably more in the 4 or 5 range, if I'm reading right, but time will tell. But it does give us an opportunity for more flexibility. It probably does, you know, make our schedules less rigorous, but I think there's a good reason to put our toe in the water.
You grew up as a Jersey guy. I grew up as a Connecticut guy, so you and I both know deep down what Madison Square Garden means. So just give, just for the uninitiated out there, how important is, every year's particularly important, but how important is this year to bring the Big Ten, the tournament, to the Garden?
I think it's very important. You know, my dad played in the Garden. I played in this Garden, but this is the 4th Madison iteration of Madison Square Garden. My dad played in the 3rd.
Okay.
And I played in the 4th. And so I think it's regarded by most basketball people as the Mecca.
Yep.
You know, the fact of it is that we're living in 2 regions now, just not visiting one and living in another. And to do that, we need to go and play games, important games. And the Garden is an important initiative, but standing by itself, it wouldn't be as important as it being part of a number of connections. You know, we played in D.C. Last year. We were playing a game at Yankee Stadium. We're playing a doubleheader at Madison Square Garden hockey and basketball. I know last year Penn State and Michigan State played at the Palestra, another great historic venue.
Yep.
So I look at it in a comprehensive way. It's not going to be easy. You talk about we have 3 football partners. We have 4 basketball partners. Only the NFL has more partners than we have in basketball. They have 5. We have 4. And so to manage the season with 1 less week and with, this year Northwestern is having to play at Allstate Arena.
Right.
Minnesota is hosting the Super Bowl. And so we're going to be really challenged to get the schedule to look like it has in the past. I'm hopeful next year and the following years we'll be able to really get back to the flow that we're in. But this year, the coaches understood what we're doing. They knew it was going to be disruptive. It has been disruptive. In a couple of weeks, we'll know sort of what those schedules are. But it's a high priority for our coaches, for our schools, And I very much appreciate the flexibility the people have shown for us to get this accomplished.
And part of that flexibility is playing a couple of games in early December that are in the conference. How closely are you going to look at that weekend with the idea, you know, because you and I both know that a lot of people pay attention to college basketball after New Year's Day is over with, but if there's something in December that can whet the appetite, will you look at that weekend this year closely to wonder if there should be some permanence to it?
You know, I will. I'm going to make some calls to our coaches over the next couple of weeks, because Matt Painter and along with some of the other coaches have talked about a 20-game schedule. They want to play each other more, one.
Yep.
I think the ACC is going to 20 games.
They are.
I have some concerns about basketball. It is true that basketball, you know, sort of gets legs in January and February. But I don't think that necessarily has to be the case. You know, we play the ACC Challenge, and that's breakthrough programming.
Yep.
And to some extent, I think that the Gabbett games can grow into attractive programming.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
At the same time, we're playing some FCS teams, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
That do not attract in-stadium viewers or at-home viewers. They simply don't. And so if you think about football, it's 12 games, and 9 of them are conference games, and 3 of them are not. And basketball, you have roughly 30 games in 18 conference, so 12 are not. And too many of those are games that aren't appealing to fans in the stadium and fans at home.
No doubt.
So I've thought about, okay, you know, we know that we have an awful lot of compression in January and February. Wouldn't it be worthwhile thinking about perhaps a game or two less of the non-conference variety, a game or two more of the conference variety, opening the season earlier, and then really using Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? Don't try to compete with football. You're not going to compete with football.
Right.
But so don't play Friday or Saturday, and maybe you don't play on Monday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and try to play to track the tension. I think you could. If you put the right games together on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's proven to me that you can attract in-stadium as well as television. And I think it's better for the players in terms of compression, perhaps less travel in January and February, and better games in November, December. So I want to talk to our coaches about that, explore it. I think this year will be disruptive because we're trying to do everything, even though we're putting a couple games in December in one less week. We knew what we were going to get into, but it's going to be disruptive. But going forward, I'd like to find an approach, and maybe it means opening the season a week earlier. Maybe it means a couple more conference games. Maybe it means some scheduling guidelines to improve the quality of the games we're putting out there. But I think that looking at this year and seeing what happens around football championship week with conference games will be, you know, it'd be a good little test.
One final question, and I agree with all of that. One final question, and it deals with you. You've been on this job now for, 28 years, right?
Yeah.
Just through pure experience, where have you grown, you feel, in the job, and where do you approach things a little bit differently because of experience?
That's a good question. I think... You know, when I say we, I mean our presidents, our athletic directors, our coaches, you know, have all experienced a tremendous amount of change in the last quarter century. And undoubtedly will be challenged in similar ways over the next decade. There's no doubt about that. The rate of change, whether it's brought up by technology, litigation, various kinds of external pressures and internal pressures, it's going to require flexibility and thoughtfulness. So where I think I've grown is really, the analogy would be, I was probably a point guard that liked to score. And now I would see myself as a pass-first point guard.
I like that. I like that.
I mean, I, you know, and so I have to get other people involved. and I think the Big Ten Network was a good example. Everyone had fingerprints on that. You know, I get credit for it, but I didn't do this. This was not a point guard going off for 30 points. This is a project that required, you know, presidents and athletic directors and coaches to see the long-term value of the short-term sacrifice. And so, you know, I don't think looking back is particularly good. I think it's really hard to make progress when you're looking in the rearview mirror. I think you got to stay looking forward.
Yep.
I think you got to learn from the past and be realistic about the future. There'll be challenges, but I think we're fully capable with the resources and history and tradition that we have to really meet any one of them, but only if everybody's engaged and has their eye on the right kinds of objectives, the right kinds of values long term.
Insightful all the way through. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. I really enjoyed the conversation a lot, Jim, and look forward to seeing you down the road shortly.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
That's Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten. My brother coming up in the next half hour. I thought Jim was very open, very insightful on a lot of areas. And I think it's important that you talk with someone, you try to ask questions, and give them the room to operate to give you answers. And I think Jim gave a lot of great answers on a lot of different areas. If you did miss part of it, check out the podcast. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere, plus a great special between now and Tuesday. And that would be Coors Light 24-pack cans at $13.49. Water, wine coolers, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Truly second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Fun News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our show, as it is every Friday, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, and microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, including this week's outstanding Beer of the Week special now through Tuesday. Coors Light 24-pack cans, just $13.49. Wine coolers, water, soda, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is truly second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. And now we bring in the star of all stars, the seer of all seers. Some people have a crystal ball. We have my brother. Welcome back. People have been complaining that you have not been on.
Who, me?
Yes, you. They love you.
Oh, I didn't know I was on.
No, you're on now.
Oh. Hi. How's it going?
It's going well. How about you?
Oh, really well. So I got good news for you. We had an auction company take all the furniture from the house because they could move it, and they got $670 for it, and it was all donated to St. Jude's Hospital.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it didn't just get thrown away. So.
That's good. That's a great donation. I make a donation to St. Jude's every month myself, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Every month.
Yeah. Every month. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I know it was something Mom donated to all the time, too. So she'd have been happy that the furniture went to that. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
That's really great.
And I'm opening up a new studio. Be Studio 305, Man Cave 305. So.
Oh, really? To do the show in?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do it in the man cave. So.
Perfect. That's where you should be. You should be in a man cave. I think that screams you.
No, my beautiful wife made it for me. It's awesome. Unbelievable. I got two lazy boys in there, kick up, just missed the TV, on the floor, air conditioner blowing on you. It doesn't get better than that. It just, you know, our little grandson, he likes to come in, but we made them a cub cave, so they've got their own. They got their own room to go into with TV and a lazy boy in there. So got quite the thing going on. So,
John, do you have a man cave?
Do not have a man cave, but when we finally, hopefully within the next year or two. We'll be buying a house, and that will be in the blueprint. It has been discussed with my better half. It has been.
You got to get the lazy boy.
Oh yeah,
you need about 6 inches of room between a kicking up and the TV.
Well, the great thing is I really have. Well, the great thing is so far I've not received any trepidations. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, it's because you haven't bought anything yet.
Right.
We'll send you some more candle holders to give her.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Every man cave should have those.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Adds ambiance to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Candle holders in the man cave. It doesn't get better than that.
Two hearts, one flame.
Yeah, two hearts, one flame. You know, just go for it. So
you should copyright that, Kevin.
But we got issues in the garage. We got like 4,250 mice. It's unbelievable. They built a nest in Claire's car about 2 foot in diameter with insulation. It said she went for an oil change. They said, you got to see this. And they popped the car's brand new. They popped the hood, and they took all this insulation and made this huge nest in the car. It's like cotton candy. So
now
we got to get rid of the mice and don't know how. So outside of that, everything's going pretty good.
Yeah.
Mouse cave.
Mouse cave. That's bad.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question. What's up with Major League Baseball? Why is it losing its allure?
Well, I think part of it is you have a younger generation, which we've talked about in this show before.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this is that you have a younger generation that wants life wrapped up quickly. And that would mean, and I mean, in other words, what makes soccer so popular with the younger set? Well, let's start with this. It is 90 minutes, and it's running time.
Right.
Baseball has, baseball has a different pace to it.
They refuse to change. And when they make a change, they don't implement it. Or they implement it, but they don't enforce it, you know. I know personally, like the All-Star game, I didn't know who two-thirds of the players were. You know,
right.
And I follow
right.
sports like you do. But baseball, I've kind of drifted away from, only because you put the game on and it's like you want to shoot yourself by the third inning. You're like, God, you know, move, get the game going, you know. It's like football has made changes and they implement it. And if that
yeah.
change doesn't work, they change it the next year back to whatever they wanted to. They're not afraid to make changes, and it's good for the sport. Basketball the same way. Baseball, they got to speed the game up. They've got to do something to make, like the instant replay, it's great. They get everything. But what was exciting in baseball? When Billy Martin would come running out of the dugout and turn his hat around and start screaming right. in an umpire's face and kicking dirt on him. And, you know, that's gone now because of instant replay. And so it's like a catch-22 that baseball has turned into just this, like, gentleman's sport that just kind of takes 4 hours to complete.
And the other part, too, is this. I know you're always looking for an edge, okay?
Yep.
And I know that the, quote, mental side of the game is important. All right, I got that. But what's happened now is that you have created such a lineage of thinkers who have to, then there's a runner on base, so I need to take my time. I need to go set. All right, am I emotionally ready to pitch it? Just pitch the ball. All right? Just pitch. Go. Move. Guess what? Okay?
Yeah, I agree.
And you see this? I was talking about this last night with the Williamsport group because I wanted to equate, and I'm going to say this when I talk to the Erie group tomorrow night. I was talking about Trace McSorley, Penn State's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I used a baseball analogy to discuss Trace McSorley. Really good pitchers, a Max Scherzer, a Clayton Kershaw, a Chris Sale, trust their stuff. I don't care whether it's your fastball, your curve, your slider, whatever, but they trust their stuff. I'm really good. If you're good enough to hit it, good for you.
Yep.
Okay? You can tell
the
real
pitch it.
Yeah,
no.
You can tell the pitchers that do not trust their stuff, right? They've got to nibble a little bit. They got to trick you a little bit.
Oh, you know who's notorious for that? The kid, I know he's hurt right now, for the Phillies, who was with the Red Sox last year.
Oh, Buckholz.
Buckholz.
Awesome stuff, never trusted.
As long as he's getting strikes. Once
yep.
he starts to struggle, you know the game is over. He takes
right.
the maximum between each pitch, and he starts sweating and, you know, wiping his forehead and walking around
yeah.
the mound. And, you know, the players on the field are looking out in the stands. They're not paying attention. Pitchers like that are tough right. to play behind.
Right.
You know?
And this is what I said about McSorley. So McSorley's a quarterback who trusts his stuff.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, I trust it. I'm going to get it in there. We're going to make something happen. And he also knows the limits to his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't try to stray outside of his box. And that's what makes him a really good quarterback. I watch too many pitchers, and obviously I see a lot on a nightly basis because of what I do,
mm-hmm.
where you just sit there and go, this guy's got no shot. He doesn't trust his stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust it. And Chapman last year, okay, Chapman with the Cubs. Remember he gave up the run in the, ninth inning?
Yeah.
Do you know what he did? He threw 44 consecutive fastballs. Okay? 44. Because he didn't trust anything else he had.
Wow.
44 in a row.
Wow. Yeah, it's ruining the game. They're losing. You remember we were kids?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's all we did. We found a diamond to play baseball, and you hope you got there and nobody else was on the diamond.
Yeah.
Today you drive down the road, the diamonds are all empty. The kids
all
don't
empty.
Play. They don't even have baseball gloves, at least around here.
Well, you know what they're doing? They're all playing organized ball. Nobody plays pickup anything anymore.
Yeah, they're not. Around here, they're all playing with their cell phones. They don't want anything to do with anything like that.
Well, around here, you've got organized ball. Little League baseball, tournament teams, things like that. And they play a Little League season, then they whittle it down to, obviously, a primary all-star team, and then a couple of touring, traveling teams as well. Okay, that's perfectly fine. But my biggest complaint about with youth today when it comes to this is, do you go out and play anymore? I mean, we'd grab a basketball, go down to the dirt court and shoot. We'd be out there playing, touch football on a lot or under a street lamp. We'd be finding
a baseball field. Rink in the backyard.
Oh, we shoveled out the backyard and made a hockey rink. Yeah.
Remember you threw your stick and it hit the
window
side and it went flying through the air through the window.
Well, remember what we did. Now, for anybody that thinks that I was mad, I was not.
We always took
our sticks and we threw them into the snowbank.
Yeah.
Well, I missed.
It was like slow motion. There it goes. Wow, look at that. Hit the window. Yep, right through the window.
Right through it was a cellar window, so it was one of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
We had to go down to this place called Pryor Hardware.
Yeah.
To go and get a new window to put it in. Now, you got to admit, Mom and Dad were pretty good about that.
Yeah, they didn't say anything.
They didn't say anything.
It wasn't a big deal,
I know.
Now that you're older and you look at it. But at the time, we were like, wow, we're screwed.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kevin's looking at me like, you're in big trouble. I might be, too.
Well, I'm guilty by association.
Right.
He's going to lick me in as an accomplice.
Now, if Mom were still alive, Sean, you'd be linked as well.
Okay. She's so pissed off. She'll light up a cigarette and stare at you. You're like, I'm so sorry, man.
Take your
it was me. It was my fault.
Take your statute of limitations and
you'd be standing 50 feet away. You'd be apologizing.
She's like 4'10", and you're petrified of her. So she just look at you, and you'd be like, "Oh my God, what did I do?" We came home from Pennsylvania once. I almost stopped the car and walked. She started screaming at me. I was like, "Oh my God, please stop!" I'm begging you. You know how nervous she gets driving, and then she starts smoking, I'm like, "Oh my God, nobody can even see her head over the steering wheel." They think I'm driving the car from the passenger side.
Are we home yet?
Oh, no. Sleeping wasn't an option. So, anyway. God rest her soul. She was cool.
Yeah, she was. She really was. She was really great. And, again, Kevin's segment's brought to you by Shy Blaw. All right, so...
Hey, I got a trivia question.
Okay.
How many ears of corn are on a corn stalk?
Geez, I don't know. It's certainly not my area of expertise. I'll say 3.
And
I'll go 6. Tom? I'll go 6.
1. Sometimes 2 and maybe 3. But it's 1. And you can Google it, and anyone who doubts it, you can Google it, and it pops right up. 1 ear of corn on a stalk. Blew me away. Courtesy of my beautiful wife.
There you go. Thank you, Claire. All right.
We go walking in the morning, and it's cornfields as far as you can see. And she looked it up, and I'm thinking there's at least 5 years on every stock, so there's got to be an estimated 4 quadrillion, you know, ears of corn out here. And you look at it, and there's only one ear of corn on each stock. Now, I know that some corn is just for feed and some corn is to eat, and it depends on how far apart they're grown, and I'm sure somebody out there knows way more about it than me, but I was shocked. I always thought there was like 8 ears on each stock, and there's not. So, anyway, that's all I got. Anyway, it's kind of sports related because of Field of Dreams. But go ahead.
So. This segment, by the way, brought to you by Penn State Ag Extension. All right, so
Ag Progress Day is coming soon.
Ag Progress Day is out at Rock Springs at the Larson Research Farm. you know, do you know what I used to see out at Ag Progress Days all the time?
Lots of cows.
No, my dad's cousin Russell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he'd come down here all the time, so I used to see him every year. Yep.
He's a cool guy.
He is one of the coolest guys out there. No
yeah,
doubt.
His son was in the World Trade Center when it got hit.
Yeah, Norman. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Got out.
Yep. He got out. Thank God. I think he was on like the 45th floor or something.
Yeah.
But I got to talk to him about it. So I went with Mom to, I think it was Russell and Carol's like 75th wedding anniversary or something. And he was there, and I got to talk to him about it. It was wild talking to somebody who was actually in the building. And he said, because of the first time the Twin Towers were bombed, they had fire drills all the time. So everybody knew what to do. And it was organized getting out of there because everybody knew what to do and how to get out without panicking.
It was 1993, which was 8 years earlier. They tried to bring it down from the bottom by blowing up the basement.
Yep. And he said from that time on, they had fire drills constantly, weekly. So it's a cool guy. I like him. So anyway,
so this has been...
How's Penn State look?
Good week so far. I'm going to go over here in about 20 minutes. Watch them for a couple hours here. Then tomorrow's media day, and I've got to speak tomorrow night in Erie. Then they're off on Sunday and back to work on Monday.
The running back is back, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I sent Jack an email today.
Yeah.
And in the email, when I was running down the depth at each position so the two of us could kind of get a gauge, I got the running back, and I said, the Barkley kid seems to have some promise, but there are some people behind him.
Yeah. This will be his last year.
Well, he's got his own press conference tomorrow. So, you know, because so many people want to talk to him, they just, you know, since it's media day, they figured they'd separate him out. Well, all right. So we're back in the saddle again. Hey, if you were a high school play-by-play announcer, high school football play-by-play announcer, and your opening game was Friday, August 25th, right? Say it was.
Yeah.
How important would it be to you, and would you schedule a vacation day instead of doing the game?
I would do the game. Who's this got to do with?
The suit. The suit took last year off, so he could watch
his
own.
The first game off for a vacation.
So he scheduled a vacation day for his first game back. And we're like, hey, you know, you got a game, don't you? What? So much to looking forward to it.
Kick back drinking a margarita.
Yep. You know, there's only 10 of them. Miss one, 10% season? Gone.
Met a medium. Next time out there, we'll get
the whole gang together.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We'll get the whole gang together. We'll do that. Well, have
and
a
then
great
you guys
week.
Can come over my house and play. You guys can come here.
We can't actually do the show at your house, you know. We can.
That would be so cool.
We
Maybe the
cable.
Mountain lion will show up.
We have the technology.
We do.
we have our own Nittany Lion. So.
Great, except he's real. All right.
Yeah, he's real, all right. He was spotted again in East Windsor. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah, fabulous. He was right in the backyard here. So, well, maybe next week. No, probably the week after. We'll open Studio 305, Man Cave 305. I'll be watching back to watching my Judge Judy and, you know.
Of course you will.
Well, have a great weekend.
Big Brother. You guys watch Big Brother?
I do not.
No.
Oh, my God. I'm addicted to it. So, anyway.
Well, have a great weekend, everybody. Sean, have a great vacation. You're off next week.
Yes, sir, Sean.
Yep. Chris Elio, Chad Hershberger will be in the chair for me next week, and it'll go quick.
Have a safe trip, John. Have a good time.
We will.
Yeah, have a great time. Tell everybody in Antarctica we said hi.
You got it.
It's kind of an odd place to go, but why don't you go to Brewer's Outlet for stock up and then put something on ice?
Amen.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.